Now, today's life hack is all about amplifying the voices of parents when it comes to management of their children's schools. We're going to be discussing the role of school governing bodies and telling you how you can get involved in the current election process, which is underway for the SGBs. Our guest on the line this afternoon is Andisiwe Hlungwane, who is the project lead for Parent Power. They're a movement of parents and caregivers committed to ensuring children's right to quality education. And Andisiwe, it's great to have you on the show today. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Pippa, and good afternoon to all your listeners.
And good afternoon to you. Look, I hope by now most parents have been notified by their schools that school governing body elections are underway. But I'm also aware that unfortunately many parents will have just deleted that email or thrown away that form without even looking at it and thinking about it because they think, I haven't got time, this isn't for me, it's not my business. And I also know that the communication from the schools and from the department is not always that clear on what it means to be involved in the school governing body and what sort of commitment is being looked for, which again might put parents off unreasonably. So I'm hoping we're going to rectify that situation with this interview, Andisiwe, and hopefully encourage a few more parents to think about standing. And before I ask any questions, I just want to say to listeners, I am aware of the fact that we have a number of passionate educationalists in our audience and of parents who have done long service on school governing bodies. I am hoping you are going to call in or leave a voice note today making the case for what can be achieved through this mechanism. Please do share your own experiences with us via voice note or by phoning in. Andisiwe, let's start by the very basic explanation of what a school governing body is and what role it plays.
Yeah, so the school governing body is a school structure that really runs over the governance of the school. And it's made up of parents, teachers, non-teaching staff, learners from grade 8 to 12 in the high school phase, and the principal. And I think really this is really just trying to make sure that the governance of schools is quite a democratic process, and that it's also really just reflecting the needs of the community that the school is serving. So really trying to build partnership and accountability within the school. So it really focuses on the governance of the school and trying to make sure that policies that are in place are policies that are transformative, that really are taken into account to the learners' needs and really take into account what the community needs as well from the school.
The kinds of policies we're talking about can be anything from issues around the school admission policies, the code of conduct for learners. What else might they cover?
The language policy. In former Model C schools, I know a lot of former Model C schools have got transformation policies. So really things that affect our learners on a day-to-day experience, in terms of their day-to-day experience, but also in terms of them really getting a holistic quality education and trying to make sure that, you know, no one is discriminated against mostly, I think.
So it's such an important issue, particularly given the conversations that we've been seeing taking place in the last couple of months and the last few years around transformation in schools. And you see where this is really a way for parents to stand up and be an active part of pushing for the kind of change they want to see.
Exactly. And I think we understand that parents are busy. And if there are parents who are not able to stand for the election, I think it's really important for them to have their voice heard and for them to vote for the right people in the place, right? So I think a lot of the times what happens is that we have the same people serving in our SGBs in South Africa and we're not seeing a change because the same people stand every time. We don't have enough people going in to vote for the right people into the positions. Mm-hmm. And we end up not seeing any transformation in our schools and we're not seeing the progress within our schools that we would love to see. So I think parents might not be able to actually take up that partnership role and sit on an SGB, but they can have their voices heard and elect the right people for the SGB and then hold those right people accountable.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get to the accountability part in just a minute. But before that, let's just get a few more sort of practical constructs out the way here. Do all schools have to have a school governing body under Siwe, or is it only particular schools, government schools, high schools, primary schools, etc.? Can you elaborate?
So all public schools in South Africa, so all government schools in South Africa, primary and high school, have to have the SGB, have to have school governing bodies. The only difference is that with primary schools, there are no learner representatives sitting on the SGB, whereas with high school, we have got learner representatives who sit on the SGB as well.
Okay, thanks for that. And typically, how big would an SGB be? Is there a set number that have that need to be in place?
I think it depends on the size of the school. So depending on the size of the school, there is almost like a split, I think, of 50-50 in terms of the number of people. So it has to have 50% of the people, I think, sitting on the SGB have to be the parent component, and the other 50% is the non-parent component. So with a primary school, maybe there's five parents within the SGB, and then there are five teaching and non-teaching staff, including the principal.
Okay, thank you for that. We're talking to Andisiwe Hlungwane, a project lead for Parent Power, about school governing bodies and the electoral process that is underway as we speak. Before we talk about what's involved in that process, somebody has taken me up on my request that those who have served on school governing bodies should be part of this conversation today. Julia in Durbanville, I believe you've been doing so for 7 years already. Good afternoon.
Hello, Pippa. I had two daughters at the same school, so you know you are on the governing body for as long as your kids are there. So I was on it for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. And the reason I volunteered, I'm a sort of community minded person. I bake the cake for the cake sale. I volunteer at the fun run. But I wanted my kids when they went to primary school, they were just up the road. But then when they went to high school, the school was 30 minutes from us. So I knew I wasn't going to be in the car park listening to what was going on, you know, and I needed some way. I felt it was important some way for me to get a hang of what was going on at the school. Mm-hmm. But being on the school body also gave me a great insight into how the school was running. I know parents can very easily sort of gang up against the school and decide, you know, on things and stand in the car park and gossip about it. But actually when you really are on the school governing body, then you can see what the issues really are, and you gain a lot more understanding. So when your kid comes home from school and complains about a teacher or complains about a decision that's made, then you can actually reflect back to them in a more holistic way, which is better for them in the long run.
So it sounds like you found it a very empowering process, if I can put it that way, Julia.
Yeah, you know, our school, I learned so much, you know. Our school is an all-girls school, and it's dual-medium English and Afrikaans. So your guest was just speaking about, you know, race and all that. The balance that you keep in the school is really so precarious and very important. So we also had a hostel, so we had a lot mm-hmm. of kids coming from far away. We had a lot of kids from the town. We had a lot of English kids, a lot of Afrikaans kids. We had a lot of black kids and a lot of white kids, and you have to keep that balance really well so that it's diverse and so that everybody gets a slice of the action, but this maintains its ethos. But the reason why you send your kids in the first place is still maintained. So I learned a lot about that. And also, you know, just personally, I learned about, you know, it was developing for myself, you know, just serving on a governing body and you know, you can't just jump in boots and fight with everybody about everything. You know, you have to pick your battles and you have to decide mm-hmm. what's really important for you. And I mean, as a personal development tool, it was really great. But I feel really proud that I was part of you know, bringing about change and development and progress in the school itself, and also that my children could benefit from it.
Thank you very much for that insight, Julia. And Edward and Errol will take your calls in just a minute as well to hear some more views from those who've been there. Andisiwe, I'm sure you were nodding your head with a lot of what Julia was saying mm-hmm. there about, I particularly like what she said about her ability to communicate honestly back to her own children about why decisions were being made the way they were, rather than relying on rumor and the car park rumor mill. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I totally agree with what she's saying. And I think that is like the whole idea of having an SGB, having the representatives of the parents there. I think one, to be able to reflect back to your own children, but also to be able to reflect back to the other parents, right? Mm-hmm. To be able to take the other parents on a journey that you're going on. It might be on a lighter level because SGBs do have to report back on progress around policies that they're making and plans that they're making for the year to the wider parent body.
Yeah.
And I think that's the opportunity to bring those parents in on the journey that the school is taking. So when you vote the right people in, you have the right people coming back to you, and they're not afraid to come back to you because they are actually doing the work that they're supposed to be doing. And they're able to be transparent with you because there's no corruption mm-hmm. and there's no maladministration So I definitely agree with everything that Julia was saying.
The million-dollar question, Andisiwe, is who are the right people? So what does the ideal member of a school governing body look like? What sort of characteristics should we be looking out for in the people we vote in?
I think the most important thing is integrity. And it's a very hard one to sort of pick out, you know, to say, okay, fine, I can tell that this person has integrity. But I do think that the most important thing is looking at the people within your community that have got integrity, or within the school community who have integrity, who you can tell have really the best interest of the school and of the learners at heart. People who it's not necessarily about the loudest person, but it is about the person who really wants to bring about change and who's really committed to trying to turn around the school or trying to really lead the school to have great quality. It becomes harder and harder because our kids are coming in from different areas. They're not necessarily, it's no longer a school serving a particular community where you know the people 100%. But I do think that the most important thing is integrity in the people who sit in the SGBs.
Now, Andisiwe, this is actually the fourth biggest electoral process in the country. I think parents don't necessarily take it seriously enough. Maybe if I tell them that, it'll sink in that after the national, provincial and local government elections, a school governing body election is the fourth biggest electoral process in the country in terms of the number of potential people involved. I say potential because sadly, historically, there's been very woefully low turnout in terms of who comes to vote.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
why do you think that is?
So I think that there's a number of reasons why. I think one, people actually don't understand the magnitude of what an SGB is and the power that they actually could have in terms of making a difference in a school. So people do sort of brush it off as, oh, it's just an election at a school level. But when you think about what power sits on the SGB, you think about how it affects your child and their everyday experience at school, you will show up. Two, I think it's also a thing around the fact that there isn't a big hoo-ha around the SGB elections. You'll hear an announcement maybe once at the beginning when they're opening up the elections, but it is such a big thing. I think that it should have the same type of media attention that, you know, the national, provincial and local elections have, or even the same type of campaigning from the departments that the other elections have. And then thirdly, I think there's a poor communication at school level. Schools are not great at communicating with the parents around when the SGB elections are happening and the process as well. And the process is different depending on the province that you're in. Mm-hmm. With some places, you have 4 days. They have to announce within like 5 days that they're going to have the nominations. And then after the nominations, they give a certain amount of time for the voting to actually happen. So I think it's understanding the processes at your school. And so parents need to actually ask those questions too for them to be able to show up for the elections.
Okay. In terms of the sort of commitment required of parents to be part of the school governing body, Andisiwe, I think that's the one thing that keeps a lot of people from standing because they think, no, I'm too busy. I won't have the time to do it properly. Sort of, is it different depending on how seriously and how active the school governing body is at a particular school? Can you give us any kind of idea, ballpark idea of what sort of commitment is needed?
So I think on paper, the SGB has to actually meet once a term. And then they also have to report back to the school. Am I lying? No, sorry, I am actually lying. I think it is once a term. It's once every quarter they actually have to meet. And then they also have to report back to the wider parent body once a quarter.
Okay.
But depending on the school and how active that SGB is, they could be meeting once a month. So it depends on the school actually and what the SGB feels like they want to do. But on paper, they should meet once a quarter, they should meet and discuss the policies and discuss the progress that they're making compared to when they started out. And it also, depending on the committee that the person sits on. So there is a finance committee within the SGB. There is one that focuses on learner issues, so discipline. There is what code of conduct, that type of stuff. There's one that focuses on curriculum, and those also meet at different points. I think the finance committee meets a lot more than some of the other committees because of the fact that it's budgetary. So it depends on which committee you're sitting on, but the SGB as a whole has to meet once a term.
Andisiwe Hlongwane, thank you so much for joining us to share that insight. We've got Errol and another caller wanting to comment. We'll take those calls straight after the news headlines. And once again, a huge thank you to Andisiwe Hlongwane of the Parent Power Organization for chatting to us about why it's so important to exercise your right to get involved in the school that your children attend. And I hope she's inspired more of you to do so. The election process is underway as we speak. It actually kicked off on the 1st of March and continues until the 30th of April. So if you haven't heard about it from your school, please go and ask them how you can get involved, how you can make yourself available to stand if you think you want to, where and when you can vote. A lot of schools are doing an electronic election this year because of the circumstances of COVID. So that might actually work, I think, in people's favor, in schools' favor, in terms of getting more participation. If people can do it from the comfort of their own home, who wouldn't normally make the effort to go to the meeting at school to cast a vote, perhaps this might work in our favor. Edward and Errol, thank you both very much for waiting so patiently. Edward in Kraaifontein, have you served on a school governing body? Good afternoon.
Yes, I did serve. I just finished my term, my second term, actually.
Okay.
So my first term was as vice chairman, and the second term was as chairman. I think in the rural communities, mm-hmm. schools, the nominations and the voting processes is much more complicated. Because of, the parents doesn't have the tools electronically to have all the information that they should have, firstly. Secondly, the school sent out a letter informing you of the process going to start of nominations. And then previously, because of COVID, we couldn't do it now. But previously, what happened is that we will have a meeting, and in that meeting, we will discuss the process and the nominations process and giving the parents present at that meeting an opportunity to nominate the person sitting next to you or the person you're asking somebody, are you willing to stand?
Mm-hmm.
And you get an opportunity to know somebody. But the rural communities is much more complicated because they are spread widely apart from each other. So the school is completely rely on bus services to get the children to schools.
Yeah.
So you can imagine if I want to nominate somebody, but I don't know the person's name, I don't have a contact number of that person, I don't know where that person is staying. But that source has now fallen away due to COVID, so there was no meeting and you didn't have a chance for the proper nominations process. In the meantime, some of the school principals took advantage of the opportunity to sort of manipulate the situation to throw out some of the nominations, which they know that these guys, remember your guest talk about what the qualities is that you need to serve on the governing body. And they don't want strong personality people to serve on the governing body because they want to manipulate the governing bodies.
That's a very worrying comment, Edward, but I take your points. I take your multiple points on the difficulties of getting parental involvement when there are such challenges around physically bringing the school community together as they are right now. Edward, thank you very much. And also a very interesting comment about the gap that opens for potential manipulation of the process. Errol in Blue Downs, I knew we would hear from you because I know you're absolutely passionate about this form of service. Do you share Edward's concern about the potential for the process to be subverted by the current circumstances?
Pippa, good afternoon.
Afternoon.
And good afternoon to the listeners. Yes, I think it's even more than before. And it's going to be very, very difficult because you don't know who's who in the zoo now.
Mm.
Because another thing, it's not only by e-poll. You can actually, the school might give you a date. It starts at 7 in the morning and it ends at 8 at night where you can drop off your nomination forms at the designated area. But Papa, let me first correct your guest. Governing bodies will always have parents in the majority. At primary schools, there are 5 parents, 2 teachers, 1 non-teaching staff, the principal.
Okay.
At high school, the parent component goes to 7, and there's also 2 learners that goes with it.
Okay,
so you'll have 13 at high school level, and I think it's 9 or 11 at primary school. But parents will always be in the majority. And that is a massive power that parents have to make a positive contribution to that school.
Mm.
And as your previous caller said, that principals don't like strong people because they always want to manipulate and be the head honcho in charge. And when they get strong governing body parents, they simply do not like it. But my plea to parents are, please do partake at governing body level. You know, even if you're not elected, make yourself available as a co-opted member. Because the Schools Act allow for as much as 6 co-opted members who has a speciality in a certain component and that can assist the schools. And you know, Papa, it is actually rewarding to serve on a governing body. You will not believe the amount of knowledge that you garner out of being a member of a school governing body. Because remember, the components come from various sectors. You know, you might have a priest on, you might have an electrician like me on, you might have a nurse on, and they all contribute in their own way to the main thing is the advancement and the betterment of education at that particular school. But I'm afraid with this manner of elections, there are definitely going to be manipulations, and principals are going to take the gap. Unfortunately, that is just how they will do it, because they want their people there so that they can caucus and manipulate and put their point forward.
Errol, we have to leave it there due to time constraints, but thank you so much. I really value that call, and particularly you mentioned something I didn't get a chance to ask Andy Siwe about, which was the additional opportunity to be of assistance even if you don't feel like you can be a full-time member of an SGB. There is that option of the co-opted members. Even if you have just a particular skill set that might be useful in a single field of what they're looking at, let them know. Put yourself forward. Let them know that you are happy to provide advice or counsel on language policy, on uniform, or whatever it is that you feel you have a particular strength in that might be of use. Please do speak up and let it be known that those skills are there. So again, if you haven't heard from your child's school, speak up and ask for information, because this process is already halfway through as we have this conversation today. The entire process has got to be concluded by the end of April. Very quickly, let's hear a few of your voice notes that have come through on this, and then we'll move on to play time travel trivia.
Hi, Papa Alistair here. It's such a great program this afternoon. I trust that more parents, you know, that listen to this will get, you know, involved with the SGB and with schools. I served for 4 years on the SGB at our school. I'm the chairperson of that SGB. What I can say, what saddens me, is that as SGB chairperson and member, I've discovered in the last 2 years that the department, the WCD, wants to bully SGBs to do what they want them to do, instead of really getting them to do what they are assigned to do. And that is very sad for me.
Afternoon, Pippa. Mike of Southfield here. As you know, this is a topic very close to my heart, being schools, education, and just the general offering up of time to serve on governing bodies, etc. We have just at our school completed our elections and finalized the new governing body going forward. Interestingly enough, the principal and I were discussing this morning an aspect of attendance and the number of people who turn up to vote. Should we be celebrating the fact that we reached our quorum with 10% beyond, or should we be bemoaning the fact that all we've met is the quorum and that the broader and bigger percentage of parents haven't turned up to vote? This is such an important process that involves an entire school body. And whilst we understand that for practical reasons, some people cannot make it to do the voting, and a lot of it was done off-site this year, it makes it very difficult to believe that the process that you're taking forward has the wholehearted support of the whole body if all you've achieved is a quorum in order to get your board voted on. Cheers, Mike.
Mike, I also knew I'd hear from you. Thank you very much to you, to Errol, to Alistair and Edward and Julia for sharing that first-hand experience with us. And I hope collectively we've all made the case for taking this process a lot more seriously.